discouraged, why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion?
Welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our group up to Grand Junction said to tell you they send their love down here to you. Their prayers are for you as well. And so they are with us in thoughts, but they're many miles away. I'd like to start here in the Bible, John 14th chapter, and read a few verses here. Verse 21, I'll start with and read a few verses here. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, a lot of people of the world are not really aware of that, how the Lord comes and communicates with them here. But I'm happy to say that the people here, I'm sure everyone here, except maybe some of the younger ones and even some of them, the Lord has come and made that abode with them. It is accomplished by visions, dreams, the manifestation of the Spirit, that he appears to us and gives us that admonition and guidance. Our sister that will be baptized this afternoon has already been blessed with that admonition as well. Yet she's not into our church, but she's coming this afternoon and join us. And so the Lord communicates with us, lets us know those things that we should. He's blessed me with his Spirit, the same as he had blessed you, my brothers and sisters. It is something that we all desire. It is all something that we need for our welfare and guidance. For without that guidance, we walk in the dark. And so he has blessed me to know that this is his church. I don't say that I believe. I say I know this is his church. He has manifested unto me by his Holy Spirit that this is his church, my brothers and sisters. There is no other church in the world that our Lord and Savior recognizes other than this church only. No other church. He is the author and finisher of our faith and this church. He's blessed me with that understanding. He's blessed me by showing me that these two books are his. They are the Word of God. I don't have to wonder about it. I know because the Lord has revealed that to me. And I'm happy, very happy, that he has given me that admonition and guidance for my welfare as well as he does to you, my brothers and sisters. You can all testify to the promptings of his Spirit from time to time. Now, my brothers and sisters, if you don't have that Spirit, it's not working with you, you're walking a little bit too far away from the Lord. You need to come closer and keep his commandments. And he will visit us with that Spirit to warn us and counsel us, to help us in our trials and tribulation. When we're downtrodden, we can go to him, and he can console us and help us in those things that we desire to know. Here in the scriptures, we have many examples of the people when they drew close to the Lord. And when they drew away from the Lord, the trials and tribulations that they had. And so I want to go back into the book of Genesis here and pick up there on Genesis 37th chapter I'd like to go to and read a few verses there.
Verse
Now, this is concerning Joseph, one of Jacob's sons, the youngest one. And we can know why we've read the blessings that he has received. But there's always an opposition to all things, and Satan's had opposition to us. But I will start here and read here, beginning with verse 3 in chapter 37. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all their brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. You know, the adversary's busy. Here he is. He's creating envy, strife, hatred within the family here of Jacob. And because of it, you know, they conspire against him. But this young man was keeping the words of God. And there's always seems like when you're trying to keep the word of God, there's an opposition to you in this life. And so it was here with Joseph. And his brothers decided they wanted to get rid of him. So they did that. And they made it appear that he had been killed by some animal. But you know, this is the situation that arises when people don't follow the word of God. And they allow the adversary to grow in their hearts, so their minds become darkened. And if you have followed the story, you know that Joseph was blessed. He really was a faithful young individual. That's the way we are to be, as faithful. And you get blessed by keeping his laws of the Lord. You know that the Lord appeared to him later on after the trials. He was, you know, he's put in jail and all that, and he become a second leader there in Egypt finally because of his faithfulness unto the Lord in all of his trials. And so that is the way it is in the world today. You know, there's an opposition to the Lord in all things. And as I mentioned at the reunion in Colorado the last spring, they had made a law, passed a law there. Not a very good law at all. It sounded good. But the law was to create a situation where you cannot teach against what the Bible teaches, that they outlawed it. And finally, the governor signed it into law the 1st of July. And that law, you know, it made unisex restrooms. It also done some other things. One of them, I'll read to you, Section 8 of this bill, and you know, it's not only in Colorado that this is happening. Other states are passing these laws as well. But from what I can see and learn, Colorado is about one of the most restrictive ones going. And this Section 8 of this bill here, it says, makes it a crime to publish or distribute anything that is deemed a discrimination against the homosexuality or unisexual lifestyle. So, you know, technically, they have outlawed the Bible from being published in the state of Colorado, as well as teaching out of the Bible sin. And who has made that law? Well, as I say, you know, the Amalekites, you remember in the Book of Mormon, and the Zoramites, they were always against the Lord. They were in opposition. They turned their backs upon the Lord. when you turn your back upon the Lord, your mind becomes darker to that which is good. And that's kind of the way it has happened here in this country. This country used to be considered a Christian nation. But when I was a young fellow, that's the way it was. And you could preach scriptures and teach the law, and there were a lot of people that want to follow the Lord in different organizations around. But as they, for some reason, they turn their backs upon the word of the Lord, sometimes they claim that somebody, some minister stepped on their toes and told them that they were doing some sins that they shouldn't and they didn't like it, or somebody just spoke to them and they become angry, upset about the words that were spoken. When a person becomes angry against the word of the Lord, you know, it's the adversary that's working within your heart. Pride upsets more things are going than anything are going. That pride is something that has to be conquered. If you have it in your heart, you cannot have the Spirit of the Lord to direct and guide you. It's in opposition to the Lord. That pride must get rid of it. You must be humble before the Lord in all things. As the Lord says, to offer up unto him that broken heart and a contrite spirit, which is most pleasing to him. And as the people in the scriptures, you know, as they obeyed the laws of God real close, they were blessed. And the Lord prospered them. Now, these laws that are being made, they're in Canada, they're in Australia, they're in Europe. Ministers of different denominations are being put in jail, fined, all of these things. Now, some people think these laws won't bother anybody without any repercussions, that you can preach the word of God. You can. But it's a little bit like Paul, you know. He ended up in prison. He preached quite a little bit there while he's in prison. Well, these laws will put you in prison too when you preach against homosexuality, that it's okay. That's what the opposition is doing, that it's teaching these things. But it's a sin, and it is wrong. Contrary to the word of God. And so there's not going to be any exception to these laws where you have them, that if you preach against them, you're in violation of that law, and they can prosecute you in several different ways. Some years ago, I think it started in California some years back, the gay movement took their cases to the Supreme Court, in fact, the U.S. Supreme Court, that these laws that restricted some of this smut and that that they couldn't do or watch, they said it was against their constitutional rights. And surprisingly, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that that is true. Well, with these laws that they're passing now, I'm sure it'll go to the Supreme Court because, really, they are nullifying the First Amendment of the Constitution. They're taken away from you and us here. It'll work its way through. Now, in California, just recently, you know, they passed that amendment proposition there, number 8, good law. They put it into their constitution of that state so that these judges around could not nullify the laws. Already, there is several lawsuits against that law in California. because the gay movement claims that the people of California have no right to make them laws, that it's the law that they have is taking away their constitutional right to live the lifestyle that they want. The lifestyle of the gay movement is evil. It's not right. And it's contrary to God's law. And so, my brothers and sisters, as the saying goes, you need to button down the hatch. You are under attack, and you are the enemy. They mean to destroy you one way or another if they can. And they're going to make that effort. Not too long ago, me and a friend, you know, they had a big free meal there in Grand Junction, at an auditorium there for celebrate their business and all of that. And friend and I decided to go down and, to the dinner that they had there, and there was a bunch of other people that had gone down to it as well. And we went in. They had a number of tables around it. About 20 people could sit at a table, say. And they had the tables all set there. And you sat down, and a friend and I sat there. And they had real good music going and had all the goodies on the table. You know, had a turkey on every table there for the people, and they had somebody there to carve it up and a couple of helpers to pass out the dishes as they loaded them up for you. You know, there was all kinds of goodies there. There's cranberry sauce and cranberry jelly there, and olives and sweet potatoes, you know, just everything you want. You know, they had good music as well, surprisingly. And I was sitting there, and, you know, I could smell something. I don't know. You know, you're out in the yard sometime, you catch a whiff of something, doesn't smell too good, and you don't know where it come from. What? Well, that's the way it was here with me. And I asked my friend, I says, "You smell anything out of order, anything?" He says, "Well, every once in a while I'll catch a whiff of something. Don't smell too good." And so just let it go, and they finally come up, the chef, and begin to carve up the turkey and pass out the plates to the helpers, and they were just enjoying it around when me and a friend were about one of the last ones to get our plates, and they finally brought our plates around, and I couldn't stand the smell. I asked my friend, "What's the matter?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "You know, I can't stand this. It kind of made me nauseated." And so we got up and left. And, you know, some of the other people kind of looked at us kind of funny. And there was some others there as well. Three or four other people got up and left with us. Well, we left. But anyway, some of these laws that's being passed in the state of Illinois at Deerfield High School, had a freshman class there. The high school had a pro-gay seminar for the freshmen, and they were told not to tell their parents of this meeting. And they were required to sign a confidential agreement to be quiet about this pro-gay seminar. Now, this is the extent that this gay movement is beginning to introduce and force upon the people. In Massachusetts, in 2007, a school there banned the parents from attending a seminar for students on how they can know they are homosexuals. This is the way they are going. In California, in 2008, The first grade students were invited to go on a field trip. This field trip ended up, and they watched a wedding. Their school teacher was a lesbian, and they watched them get married. Here they are indoctrinating our young children at this young age. And so it's not good what these things are. Now, back to my dinner and that turkey that was so good. It's all symbolic. Really didn't happen, but it's symbolic. That turkey is these hate crime laws that they're passing. You know, it sounds good for a hate law that there shouldn't be, you know, that we hate one another. You know, we're told automatically, you know, if we love the Lord, you will keep his commandments. Why do we need hate laws? We don't. But the other side of the coin is those that don't want to follow the laws of God. And so they want to live that type of a life, and they are putting these laws forth. I'd like to go over into the Book of Mormon here and read a little bit on page 285 in the Book of Mormon. And I'll start here on verse 150. That's page 285. Now, it should be remembered, you know, we're not the only ones that run into these things like this. On page of verse 150 here, it says, now this is Mosiah here, and they're having problems among the people. And the Amalekites and the Zoramites, we want to say, you know, they're running into this opposition, the people of the church. And now it come to pass that the persecution which was inflicted on the church by the unbelievers become so great that the church began to murmur and to complain to their leaders concerning the matter. And they did complain to Alma. Now, you know, we really don't have the fortunate to have a ruler like Alma or Mosiah. They were religious leaders, and they done something about it. Let us continue reading. And Alma laid the case before their king Mosiah, and Mosiah consulted with his priest. And it come to pass that King Mosiah sent a proclamation throughout the land round about that there should not any unbelievers persecute any of those which belong to the church of God. And so they passed this law that stopped this persecution going. We don't have really, in a way, have that privilege here in this country today. The states are passing this. Our U.S. Congress has made feelings out towards our President Bush about passing one nationally, a hate crime law. And you have to pat the man on the back, our president, for this. He has made it plain to Congress that there is no need for hate crime laws. If you bring one before me, he says, he has told them, I will veto it. We have had that protection there from him. But the coming administration that will move in, you will not have that same protection. Those laws will be instituted there, and they'll start with them, and this nation will pass them, our Congress. As I said, they will nullify the First Amendment of the Constitution, taking away your rights, that you have not the right to preach the fullness of the gospel without either being fined heavily or being put in prison. And so these things we are looking at today. today. I'd like to go over here into the Book of Mormon some more and on page 724 and read here a little bit. And begin here with verse 102 on page 724. And he that will contend against the word of the Lord, let him be accursed. And, you know, this is really what will happen to those that are in opposition to the laws of God. They will not have the blessings of the Lord with them. The Lord will be against them. He that shall deny these things, let him be accursed. For unto him will I shew no greater things, saith Jesus Christ. For I am he which speaketh. And at my command the heavens are open and are shut. And at my word the earth shall shake. And at my command the inhabitants thereof shall pass away, even so as by fire. And he that believeth not my words, believeth not my disciples. And if it so be that I do not speak, judge ye, for you shall know that it is I that speaketh at the last day. But he that believeth these things, which I have spoken, him will I visit with the manifestation of my spirit, and he shall know and bear record. And so, you know, as I read here earlier, if you keep the commandments of God and love him, he will make his abode with you, his manifestation. And as I said, I'm sure about everybody here receives those blessings, manifestations, visions, dreams, the promptings of the Spirit. They're the heritage of the Lord's people. If they keep his commandments, he's with them. And if you don't keep his commandments, then you'll not enjoy the promptings of his Spirit. He'll warn you of danger to be able to escape it if you pay attention to the promptings of the Spirit. As you all know, I about got run over. I got hit a few years back just because I wouldn't pay attention to the promptings of the Spirit. The Lord didn't just warn me once, but warned me twice, and I ignored it. And bam, the third time, you know, I was struck out. We have to obey the promptings of the Spirit when it comes. I don't care what it is. Any time that you ignore the promptings of the Spirit and don't do it, you get hurt some way or another. Somehow you are the loser. The Lord warns you. Obey. That is a hard thing sometimes to do, but he works with his people. As I said, this is his church, and he's going to take care of those that will keep his commandments and work to further it. He'll prosper them and help them. Let us continue on here on verse 106. For because of my spirit, he shall know that these things are true, for it persuadeth men to do good, and whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do good is of me. For good cometh of none, save it be of me. I am the same that leadeth men to all good. He that will not believe my words will not believe me, for but that I am, and he will not believe me, will not believe the Father that sent him. And that's true. You know, the people of the world have just gone away. And how does it happen that people dwindle away? You know, my folks, mother particularly, took us off to church. There was no excuses for not going to church. Every Sunday morning, evening, Wednesday, Monday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, whenever there was meeting in the church, I was there, whether I wanted to be or not. Well, I didn't, but yet I was there. And we need to do that with our children today. And after the war back, World War II, you know, the people were a church-going people pretty well. They went to church. And then they started dwindling away. Some of them was mad for some reason or another, and they used an excuse, you know. There's a bucket full of excuses right here. You can take any of them you want. Why I don't go to church. You know, I'm tired. I don't want to bother. I don't like the speaker. I don't like somebody there. They made a face at me. All kinds of excuses we come up for not going to church. The adversary, Satan, is the one that put those excuses there. An excuse is really a lie. I tried it with the Lord, that excuse. I'll tell you, he just walked all over me for that. Let me know very well that it was a lie. And so that's what it is, the excuse. We have the opportunity to go. We should go. If we don't go, we don't set an example for our children. And then when they grow up, they go into the world. Some of them become Amalekites and Zoramites. They want nothing to do with the church. And then they pick up these evil things, this gay movement that we're running in today. In times past, they've run into it. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of the evilness. I'm sure it come in among the Nephites. It come in among the Jaredites as well, these evil things. Satan is against that which is good in all things. And so he leadeth men away from the words of God. That which is good, as it says, I read, it comes from God. And leads people to do good. And so we all want good. We desire to have that peace without war. But we desire that our brothers and sisters in the world might know the joy that we know and come into the kingdom of God. This group right here, the Church of Christ, are closer to me than my family. Yes, my brothers and sisters here, I love you. I got a sister, a little younger than I am, and a brother that's a little older than I am. They go to church all the time. But one goes to one church, another goes to another church. They're faithful. They work in it, active in it. But I cannot convince them that where they're at is wrong. They're satisfied with what they got. And if we're not humble in our hearts, the Lord leads us away, and then we become satisfied with that which is not right. We go into the world, and then the cares of the world. We can become overcrowded with the things of the world that we hardly have time for the things of the Lord and our brothers and sisters. We can become so engrossed with different things, different programs, whatever, that we really don't take the time to sit down and study the scriptures as we should, that we remember what they say. I have to keep reading the scriptures. My mind is only about that long. I can't remember. And so I have to keep constantly studying the scriptures that I might obey my Lord and Savior. I'd like to go over here in Isaiah and read here just a little bit. On Isaiah, the 5th chapter. It's one that everybody is familiar with. Some of you here could quote that word for word. Here in the 20th verse of the 5th chapter of Isaiah, and it's just like I read out of the Book of Mormon here, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good." We're in that situation today when there's so many that is calling evil good. And they call good evil. And that's what they're doing. "That put darkness for light, light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." And you know, isn't that the way the world is today? Wise in their own eyes. They've blinded their eyes. They've gone away into the world. They don't want to hear the scriptures. As I mentioned, you know, there's thousands upon thousands of denominations out there. But this is the Lord's church. He blesses us, He keeps us, and He protects us if we obey His will in those things. But you know, these laws that are being passed, it's like I said, most people don't get a chance to read them, to really know what they are. Creep upon the people, and a lot of people say, "Well, yes, you know, I voted for that law. You know, that's a good idea that we don't hate one another." But you know, they aren't able to sometimes read the finer stuff that's in them. The things, the covering of it looks very good, just like that dinner. You know, all the good things around it there, so appealing. And to think that the nation has come that far that they want to put the Lord in the back seat and do away with Him. It is our Lord and Savior that we need in all times, during the day, in our work, as we travel. We need our Lord at all time. I'd like to go over here and read in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, it's another one that everybody has read. I'm sure there's some here that can quote it verse, word for word. Matthew 22. It's one of the great laws that the Lord has given. This is something that has been from day one. Still applicable, still true today as it was when it was clear back there with Adam and Eve and on down. I'll begin with verse 34 here and read a few verses. "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" And how true it is. We are to love one another. We do that here. Help one another, circle one another, comfort one another in the needs that we run into in our life. Sometimes we become depressed. We can take the problems to the Lord, and he will console us and help us. Soak us in those things that we stand in need of. It's comforting when the Lord will come and answer your question and help you. I've gone to the Lord, and sometimes he'll answer my question, inquiry. Sometimes I get no answer whatsoever. And I guess maybe I'm a little far out. I'm not keeping his commandments or something. And then maybe it just doesn't matter. And I think it does. Maybe I'm asking it upon my lust that he might show me. We are to be humble, to help one another in this walk of life and that. I'd like to go back into the Book of Mormon and read here just a little bit on page 768. This is in the Book of Moroni, and verse 52 there, verse 52 on 768. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last days, it shall be well with him. And truly, we must have that within our hearts. You can't have it if you got pride. Pride will keep it out. It's just like a garden, I want to say. You know, you plant a garden and get it all ready and plant it, and you water it, and you walk away from it. You know, something comes up, and you come back in 6 weeks and look at the garden, and you're kind of dismayed. All you see is weeds out there. All your good work's gone. You know, that's the way it is with us. We have to keep constantly picking out those sins out of our life, like we pick the weeds out of a garden so that it can produce. And that is the way it is for us. If we keep those weeds out of our hearts, it will produce good things, good fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will be there to strengthen us and guide us and help us in this walk of life. And we all need it, very much so. And so, you know, this is just like it is in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians there. I call that one the love chapter. It's Paul's words there about charity. And we need it. We must have it. And to be patient and kind and considerate with one another in all things. We all have shortcomings. None of us is perfect, least of all me. But still in all, everybody here wants the love of God and the love of their brothers and sisters. And so we are to exhibit that and to have it within our hearts. That's something, you know, the brothers of Joseph, you know, they hated him. That envy was there. They didn't have that love within their hearts. And because of it, the adversary, Satan, was able to influence their thoughts and bring those things that was not good whatsoever. As you maybe remember, some of you will not because you're too young, but some of you can remember back when President Reagan was president in his first year there. You know, he was shot. There was four of them wounded there at that time. Three of them directly and one of them indirectly. President Reagan was hit with a ricochet off of the, you know, he had the limousine there, and the bullet hit the window on the sidecar and ricocheted and hit him in under the left arm there. And, you know, he thought at first that the Secret Service agent had done that when he shoved him into the car there, get him out of whoever was shooting at him. And so he was hurting. He didn't know he'd been shot. And so, you know, they got him in the car, and they headed for George Washington's University Hospital. And, of course, you know, they soon realized that he was in trouble because he was, as he was talking, breathing, he was blood was coming up. So as they got him into the hospital there, you know, they didn't have a gurney there to take him, put him on. So he walked in, of course. He collapsed because of that wound there. That bullet had punctured his lung, and he was bleeding into his lungs. And first thing they done was they started giving a transfusion of blood and put a tube into his lungs to drain the blood out of his lungs so he wouldn't drown. Well, they took him on up to the operating room. They laid him there on the table, and as he lays there, you know, the surgeon, head surgeon, come up, and he'd been downstairs too and out, and he says, "We're going to have to operate, Mr. President." And so, you know, Reagan always kind of liked to crack a joke or something like that. So he said to Joseph Gardenian there that, he says, "Please tell me that you're all Republicans." That's what he said to him. You know, there he is hurting, but he says, "Please tell me you're all Republicans." Well, Joseph said to him, you know, he was a liberal Democrat, and he said, "Mr. President, today we are all Republicans." And that is the way we are to be, my brothers and sisters. We are to be all one in Christ, so that there is that peace, that joy, that happiness, tranquility among the fold of the children of God. Thank you.